Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
Live from the ballpark. You got to see it to believe it. We're out here tonight. We're going to try to be out here for Thursday as well. Remember, Thirsty Thursdays, $2 beers. Now, here's a great thing. Even though it's gone up a dollar, my guess is the points of purchase will be plentiful. It was a little problematic at Cashman. It would take you a while to get your dollar beer. And that's, you know, that's one of the great things with modern ballparks and modern arenas. And I talked about this many times before. Man, after being at T-Mobile, I never want to go to another stadium outside the market. Like, I am shocked when I go to other markets and I'm like, wait, there's a line for the bathroom? Wait, there's line for concessions? What is this nonsense?
What year is this? What is going on?
Well, the rest of the country doesn't know if they don't have newer stadiums. And even a lot of the new stadiums, they still did not put a premium on, you know, having a million concession stands and bathrooms that are everywhere, and they actually fit more than eight people. They actually clean them. That's nice.
The Superdome?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
God, the days of lines for both.
It's bad.
The bathroom and the concessions. Freaking nightmare. Well, you know, look no further than New Jersey, New York for real crap holes when it comes to facilities. I haven't actually been to Yankee Stadium or the new Shea, so I'm sure they're fine. But MetLife, and I'm not even going to talk about MetLife, the stadium, the transportation. Like, I really hope our stadium is state-of-the-art, and now with rideshare, we're all going to be able to get in and the hell out of there quickly. We'll see. I hope it's not a nightmare. I hope we didn't go through all this and pay $1 billion in public money with the roads included, and it's going to be a nightmare. If you want an example of what not to do when it comes to parking and then especially mass transit, it's MetLife Stadium in northern New Jersey, where they just had
WrestleMania.
Yep.
Now, it's fascinating because we remember the Super Bowl. I think most people do. The Super Bowl there was a disaster. In that, not the game or the logistics of the actual event. Getting out of there after the game turned into a nightmare. First of all, I think they had like a train stall. It was just stuck there. They couldn't get people on. They were just stranded out there. But it actually happens on a week-to-week basis. I know I was at a Jets game 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And after the game, it was smart. There's a New Jersey Transit stop right there at the stadium. You literally walk off the train, walk into the stadium, and then walk out of the stadium, walk onto the train. But they just don't have enough, and there's too long in between. So there's just a line of thousands and thousands of people waiting for a train, and then it comes, and like, you know, a few hundred get on or whatever, and then it's like, all right, now in 20 minutes, there'll be another one. Like, why isn't there like nine trains waiting to take people back?
Because they suck. Because that area sucks. And as I've mentioned a million times, especially in that area, big city folks are conditioned to being inconvenienced. So they don't expect service. It's just part of their life. Part of your life is torturous levels of transportation. And it's just like, hey, that's the way it is. It's not! It doesn't have to be!
It shouldn't be. So apparently New Jersey Transit announced there'd be a train every 10 minutes after the event for 80,000 people, and then every 15 to 20 minutes as needed afterward, which then became every 20 minutes, basically. It was a disaster. And then it flooded over. Our friend, Arash Markazi, tweeted out, it's past 1 a.m., and 80,000 people are trying to find a way home from MetLife Stadium. Taxis and Ubers are running over $100 at the moment to get back to Manhattan. If you can even find one, some drivers are just walking around the area offering rides for $200. And I'm sure people were doing it. Because at that point, you would pay anything to just get out of there. It's a nightmare.
And here's the other problem with that stadium is they built it. The first concept sucked. It's in the middle of the swamps of northern New Jersey. If you build a stadium, there's got to be stuff around the stadium.
Yeah.
You need other benefits from the stadium. You're going to spend all that money. Case in point, this is sort of a master planned casino and shopping district, right? With City National right next door, Red Rock, downtown Summerlin. There's stuff here. So even if there was some transportation disaster, you can at least kill time. When you've been to that stadium, there's nothing there.
I'm trying to think like that.
It's one of these old school stadiums, and there's so many of them that were built away from the city. Like, you know, an interesting one. Do you remember going to Jerry World for the Final Four?
Yeah.
And I think if I'm remembering this correctly, one of the routes we took to get out there went by the old Cowboy Stadium, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Irving, Texas, just like there's nothing there.
Nothing.
Any area that spends any bit of public money on a stadium and arena moving forward that isn't going to be built up around it, already is in the center of a city, don't waste your freaking time.
The one that stands out to me is Sacramento, where like that arena was just out there.
Oh, the old one?
North of town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And by the way, we saw it when it was that there was actually something built around it, but it was still very, very sparsely populated. It was mostly residential.
They smartened up. They built a downtown arena, which is incredible, and now everything's building up around it, and it's unbelievably cool in Sacramento now, where out in the middle of the pastures, it was terrible. So, yeah, you need to do that. You need to have things around it. MetLife, the Meadowlands Casino isn't that far away, right? I mean,
it's right there.
Somewhat close. So,
but I'm not sure.
Something?
I don't remember if you can walk, because it's a hell zone around it. It's all traffic areas and areas you can park, and I suppose you could walk, but I don't know if you would get freaking run down by people trying to get out of the arena.
There's a freeway
stadium area. There's multiple freeways and
tough
highways. It's not good at all. Next up,
number four.
Okay, remind me again, because I think I know where I'm at on this. For golf, because I know I don't. You know, I have to like refresh where I am. I don't like Spieth. Who else don't I like? Who else is annoying?
I think all of the young
Patrick
players are.
No, this is where I think, because they're all annoying, most of them, that I like Patrick Reed.
Koepka, you don't like.
No, I think I like Koepka.
What?
DJ? We all like
no,
DJ.
No, I love
right?
DJ.
Yeah, we all like
I
DJ.
I love DJ and his wife and the fact that he's all over the AO. And no, I love it that he parties
with
like a regular guy.
Cool.
No, but there's so many of them who are just, you know, screaming at fans because their phone is making too much noise.
Taking a picture.
Oh.
Although, you know what? Patrick Reed did snap on someone. Wasn't he complaining that someone was moving blades of grass?
I thought it was the change. The change in the pocket.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Someone shook some change in their pocket. Patrick. Well, but here's the thing. We know he's a jerk and everyone else hates him, so that means I have to like him. And he's fat and chubby.
Yeah, that's why he's
and he robbed Patrick. And he robbed the other golfers back in college, so he's hated that way. He cheats. In the past, he cheated. I'm down with what he did for the Masters meal.
Okay.
This is a man's meal. There's nothing frou-frou about it at all.
Well, maybe there is. Now, I will say, are you surprised? First off, right off the bat, Patrick has a choice of two different salads.
It's a little weak.
You go the wedge or the Caesar. Right up top. I mean, that's a strong start, but I'm surprised he went two different salads and had a choice there. I thought he'd just say, all right, here's some greens or something for you.
So what's on the menu? Besides the salad,
so,
what's the main thing?
A prime bone-in cowboy ribeye with herb butter. Fish available upon request, though.
No.
A mountain trout.
No one gets fish.
You eat
steak.
You don't want a nice mountain trout?
I could do a trout, but I'm doing the steak.
Okay.
I don't like ribeye, but I'm doing the steak. It's a gigantic ribeye, too.
Four sides. Mac and cheese. Solid.
Love mac and cheese.
Corn creme brulee, which actually sounds delicious. I think I would try that.
Sounds a little fancy, but it's probably yummy.
Steamed broccoli with sea salt and shaved parmesan, 100% in.
If you're going to eat a steak that big, you got to have some broccoli to clean it out.
And now, I don't know if you're going a little frou-frou, the cream spinach, a little bit.
I don't mind that. Chrissy, you have any problems with the Patrick Reed menu?
No, I actually respect him more.
Have you eaten like as much steak as you get in this meal in your lifetime? You're a dainty human being. I don't know that you eat.
Thank you. I mean,
Chrissy, mountain trout.
I'm a surf and turf kind of girl.
We can't get both. Hey, you know what?
I would
Who
try
cares?
To get both.
Get both.
I would
it's
be
not
like, excuse me, I'm golfing in the Masters. Do you have a problem with me eating both?
Well, you're probably not.
No,
you're
if lucky that was even, me.
You're lucky to be on the grounds as a woman, so remember that. Stay in your place,
there's,
honey.
There's a choice of several
Sorry, as I went right into board member at Augusta.
Wow.
I'm sure they forget every once in a while. Like, what is she doing here?
That was
I forgot. We changed the rules.
There's a choice of some very fancy Napa wines.
Nah.
But then here's an issue that I have. There's a choice of three different desserts. The tiramisu, vanilla bean, excuse me, the chocolate crunch and praline cheesecake, or the vanilla bean creme brulee, which if you've already got corn creme brulee, I don't know, I think you're overdoing it.
So you don't think you gave enough variety?
No.
Yikes.
I feel like the mac and cheese is sort of, you know, like a down-home meal. Like the great unwashed, myself will eat that. I feel like the dessert should have something more basic.
I mean, tiramisu is pretty basic.
It's just like a giant sundae.
Okay, that's fine. Now, do you have a problem that the mac and cheese is done with a with white cheddar and smoked Gouda? That's a little fancy.
No, you get as much cheese as possible. I'll do varieties. Don't care. Ice cream sandwiches? What can we do that's more of a low-rent dessert? And you could go with a classic banana split.
Yeah,
it's not really low-rent. I just want something that connects with the people more than all these brulees.
Do like a sundae bar.
Oh, a sundae bar.
Yeah.
After that steak?
That's the way to go. Or like bring in a whole like a froyo place.
I guarantee any of the fancy stuff is because of freaking Spieth. God, that guy's a snob. And Reed is always, you can tell Patrick Reed's always in this position. He's like, Jordan, I just want you to like me, man. But they have this very tumultuous relationship.
Fine, I'll do the cream spinach for you.
God, I would love to smash cream spinach in this caddy's face. I think I dislike the caddy more. And they're always like, oh, great story. He was a teacher. Yeah, but he's an insufferable ass now. He's like the freaking henchman on the course, screaming at people for having the temerity to snap their phone around Jordan Spieth. You're going to screw up his backswing. Boy, I am so, you can tell, folks, I am ready for majors golf to begin. Let's do this.
He could guard the coffee.
Sure. Top three stories.
Number three.
Are you laughing your keister off like I have been the last 3 weeks that every single job that is open, there are multiple yahoos in the market who are like, Rick Pitino?
I mean,
I read questions last night. Because when you start mentioning Pitino, it means you're desperate. And it usually happens in those desperation moments. Like, the desperation moment started from the get-go. It started in the season for UNLV. UCLA last night, after Rick Barnes turns him down, all of a sudden I see, like, respected media members like, why not Rick Pitino? Do we have to list why not again for you guys? You guys cover college basketball. It's not going to happen. And, again, I said this last week, I'll repeat it again. No one is looking at him. Doesn't that tell you something?
It should, but again, I do believe whoever did hire him, he would go and cheat like crazy and win immediately. Like and if you don't care about that and you don't care that you're probably going to go on probation eventually and you're probably going to have to deal with the aftermath of losing those titles and having the banners pulled down and the disgrace of all that.
Having women violated in Italian restaurants and whores all over your campus, and then Rick Pitino gives the okay on the front end, then he's like, what? There's hookers? I had no idea. Who's paying the players? Why are we we're doing illegal payments? That's Rick Pitino.
Well, the shoe company is.
With his walker. After everything goes down that he's done before, he does it again to win, and then he's got his walker and his oxygen tank that he's dragging behind. He's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. That's why not Rick Pitino.
But again, he'd probably win.
Okay. We've been round and round on this. You know who else can win? A good young coach. Like Chris Beard. There are other Chris Beards out there. But you got to go and find them. There are good young coaches everywhere. This again, is a microcosm of the laziness of media members, the desperation of fans. You don't have to sell your soul to win. Someone can coach at a university and have some standards. They don't have to be of the lowest character to win. Tony Bennett just won.
True.
Chris Beard, who I think is a low character guy in some regards with the UNLV job and all that. But you can win without being an absolute scumbag. Maybe you have to be a little bit scummy, but you don't have to be absolute bottom of the barrel. You know what? I don't mean anything bad by this, Rick Pitino, but see where I'm at here.
Kind of true. But who, and I'm trying to think, and I'm biased, but it's John Beilein, but who, as a coach who's been very successful for a long period of time, isn't generally a horrible person in for lack of a better word, somebody who is very willing to bend the rules?
Those are two different things.
I know they are, but they're both of them kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways.
Think of horrible person and bending the rules are different.
Of course they are.
But you put them together.
Yes, because both qualities apply to most really successful coaches.
But Rick Pitino is the former.
He's both.
Right, but you can be a decent person and still play the game.
I know you can. But I'm saying most really successful coaches over the long period are kind of both.
See, I think there's a difference. Let's go through. Who are horrible people in your mind? You're going to say a lot.
Krzyzewski, okay. Of course.
Wrong.
So I'm just going to go through the top 25. Horrible people as coaches. And as just away from coaching, right? So Krzyzewski. Tony Bennett.
No, he seems to be a good guy.
Is Roy Williams a horrible person?
Probably.
Is Mark Few a horrible person?
Yeah.
He's a horrible person?
I think so.
Or a cheater?
I think there's probably a little bit of both.
I don't know. I've never thought of him as a horrible person. Tom Izzo is a horrible person? You said horrible person.
I know.
You said, when I hear horrible person, this
horrible
is the,
quality.
This is the kind of guy who I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I want my kid learning from that guy.
How much did he know about Michigan State?
Well, if there were cover-ups and he was actively involved in hiding stuff with this dirtbag.
And Draymond Green? There was some violent stuff going on around campus they were covering up.
Rick Barnes, horrible person. John Calipari, John Beilein, Beard, Leonard Hamilton, Kelvin Sampson, Will Wilson, Matt Painter. Oh, dare I say this one? Nate Oates.
Oh, he's terrific.
Of course
he's awesome.
Bill Self.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think we need to move on. Top two.
Number two.
Were you happy for Virginia last night?
Yeah.
I'll say I was happy, actually, because I do root against a lot of college basketball programs and coaches. I don't think I've ever hated Virginia.
Yeah, I haven't really either.
And it's a pretty high-level learning institution. They actually do it right there.
For
it's
sure.
A really nice school.
For sure.
Bennett seems to do it the right way. I have no idea. If he had to play the game to get Jerome and Guy and Hunter, probably a little bit. It all depends on your definition of bending the rules.
Yeah, and I think, for them to go through what they went through last year and to try to have to deal with that and persevere and bounce back and have another great season this year and play as well as they did in the tournament, I think you look at that as a positive. Now, again, I personally wasn't happy because I really needed Texas Tech to win, but I think you look at that as a positive story and feel good about it. Although, you can also look at it and say the way that they came through some of these games.
Well, there's a lot of people griping about the officiating and that the officials handed them some gifts in big spots. Did you hate the call last night? On first look, it looked like Virginia deflected the ball. It was Hunter on the Italian kid. Right?
There's no question out on Texas Tech.
And then they go super slow-mo, and then they overturn it because it looks like there's a pinky. I actually thought there wasn't good enough video to overturn it.
No, it was absolutely the right call, no question. And again, needed Texas Tech.
I love Adam on the absolute right call.
It was 100%. I mean,
your glasses were off. But anyway, I didn't think the video showed the pinky on there. I don't want to argue about that.
Well, they switched the angle.
But then there were people who were like, well, but that violates the original concept of replay. Now we're doing super slow-mo, which no human in the world could see.
It's the spirit of the rule, and I get that. Like, who touched the ball last? Texas Tech did. Absolutely, that happened. And you have to look at two different angles, but you can do that. So you look at the one, and you see his finger move, and then you look at the other angle, and you see that the ball contacted the finger. So it's there's no question that it was off Texas Tech. The issue is the rule, the way the rule is written, that you can go back and look at that, but yet you can't look at a foul because he was bumped before that, not on the swipe, but you know 2 seconds earlier he was bumped. So you should say, all right, it was out on him, but he got bumped. It's a foul. It's their ball. That's how it should be.
The olden days.
You should look at every and that's how it was. And we've talked about this many times. Late in the game, they can only look at who the ball is off, and that's what they watch. I'm for watching everything, and far too often in basketball, for years and years and years, since the beginning of time probably, they have made calls like that where, and I'm not talking about this call in particular, but they've made calls where, hey, that guy got fouled, but we'll just give them the ball even though it was off on them. No harm, no foul. You've got the ball. Let's start the possession again. We're not going to call the foul. We're not going to call it out on you even though it was, and call it even. And then they go look and say, oh boy, it hit off you. So even though you got fouled and we didn't call it on purpose to balance it out, we still have to give them the ball. That is completely unacceptable. That should not happen. It should never happen. You've got to be able to watch fouls on replay. If you're going to watch replay and you're going to slow down, you have to watch everything. For what the refs had at their power last night, they absolutely got it right. But that should not be what it's limited to. You need to watch everything.
Top story.
Number one.
So we found out earlier in the day that two folks are coming back to UNLV. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Amari Hardy, active player, junior to be. He's going to return. So what does that mean for the rest of the roster? We found out a little while ago that two more players are coming back. We'll tell you about that in a couple minutes. Also, Kevin Kruger, Lon Kruger's son, assistant at Oklahoma, also a player for 1 year at UNLV. He's going to be on the staff for TJ Otzelberger. We'll get to all of that, also more on the championship game, and also get you some of the news of the day. Adam was hanging out at City National all day long. VGK, remember, playoffs start tomorrow in San Jose.
The Big 5 at 5 is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Call them today for a free consultation at 702-570-9000.
When it comes to
It's opening night at the brand new Las Vegas Ballpark for the Las Vegas Aviators and the Sacramento River Cats.
Can you pinpoint what the difference was?
I'm just so proud of our guys fighting back and sending the game to overtime. We had a chance to win it. There's a lot of emotion in that locker room right now, but I'm just so proud to be these guys' coach.
In one shining moment, it's all on the line. One shining moment.
That was rough. Sad to see former UNLV coach Chris Beard not win the national title. Chrissy picking up on the spirit of the show. Very mean today, Chrissy. Yeah, I mean, the guy's a little emotional. Talking to Wolfie after the game, and you get the, We got to play it over and over again?
Chris, are you going to stay at UNLV or take the Texas Tech job? Seriously, we're going to need a decision.
Chrissy, don't do it. He's just going to go. It'll go for 25 minutes.
Seriously,
I didn't create this mess. You know that, eh?
No, seriously, Chris, we need a decision. Are you staying?
None of your business.
That doesn't mean anything, Chris.
Did you feel bad for him at all during that 2.5-minute conversation with Wolfson?
No, not really.
It was a good speech, but it's going to take me a while to get by, kind of move on from Chris Beard, the trainer. He clearly had not spoken since weeping in the locker room. And the first attempt at speaking, yeah, that's what you got. So
it happens.
Tough luck.
Very, very emotional.
Could have won a championship here, brother. Chris, your loss.
Chris, you're up 3. Virginia has the ball. Your plan on defense? That was about it.
Don't
let him knock down,
enable him.
Let him knock down a wide open 3 in the corner.
Don't enable him.
I'm done.
I think you're wrong.
I never know where Chrissy's going to fall on her rooting interest. So she's
anti-female.
She's rooting for Patino to get. Yeah, she's anti-female. She's rooting for Patino to get the St. John's job now. She wants the FBI to apologize to Patino.
They should.
What else, Chrissy? Did you feel? Were you rooting for or against Chris Beard? I think yesterday you said you're rooting for him.
Yeah.
Which means you don't like Vegas.
No.
Pretty much.
I think you're wrong. And I was kind of undecided going into that. But I wanted Auburn to win, so I felt bad blood.
You wanted Auburn to win because of Bruce Pearl?
Yeah.
Adam, I'm kind of pitting you guys against each other, but
and
it's just,
let me just
I don't even
say
know what to say.
That Bruce is a saint. He is one of the nicest people I've ever worked with.
Plays it by the book.
Yeah, exactly. That's. I mean, that might. He's not like slimy at all. In my opinion.
He's
I know you're
very
gonna,
upfront about breaking the rules.
He had a dang barbecue. A barbecue.
He also had a coach arrested by the FBI at Auburn.
Since when is he in charge of coaches?
And he was also a snitch back in the day in the Big Ten, so it's the third time he's been caught doing something.
Alleged. No,
it's all alleged.
He had three bad days.
Yeah, and they all happened to, like, you know.
No, stop right there. He had three bad days where he got caught.
Yeah. OJ only had two bad days.
Oh, whoa.
Well, he's one of your guys, too.
Yeah, exactly. This is. I feel like this is very personal.
So, one shining moment today, five times. That might be a record.
It's enough.
It's never enough.
Oh, good for you.
It's more than enough.
I am going to be honest with you, though. Last night after the game was not great. And why was it ruined? Did Duke win the championship?
I think so.
Was the most outstanding player Zion Williamson?
I believe.
Why was he in it so much? Can we see the teams that advanced?
Eight Zion moments.
It's ridiculous.
It's preposterous. It's so stupid. I don't get the whole thing. I think it's bad every year. I think it's a stupid thing that people look forward to.
It's a tradition. And last night and this morning, I did not get to follow up on the tradition. What I like to do is go back now on YouTube. They'll load up all the old ones. So let me find one shining moment from like 86. Let me find it from 80. I think 80 was the year where Kenny Loggins was the lead-in song. This is it. And it played 50 million times. Because nothing says college basketball like Kenny Loggins. Yep.
Is he Footloose guy?
Yes.
Okay.
He's still performing.
Is he really?
He's on the bucket list. You got to go see him before.
When's the last time you saw him?
I've never seen him.
So why do I have to go?
Expand your horizons.
Okay.
I think this was...
This sucks.
No. I feel like this was Louisville with Dr. Duncanstein. Daryl Griffith.
What is this?
It's jazzy. Yeah, this was not Purvis Ellis in Louisville.
This stinks.
This is competition. This is sports. This is get fired up.
This is Louisville? Was this playing
My memory's terrible.
Was this playing in the restaurant with Patino? 15 Seconds of Fame?
No.
This is it.
Boy, it takes a long time to get to the hook here. I don't think we're going to get to it here. Nope.
Still not. Could we just leave and let
this play? There it is. Make no mistake. This is right behind One Shining Moment in my childhood when I think of college basketball.
How long has One Shining Moment been going on?
I feel like late 70s.
Okay.
Because I looked up every version I could this morning. And obviously we did not play the, what's her name there? Now I'm blanking on her name. We did that terrible version. We were killing her. I was.
Jordan Sparks?
That wasn't Jordan Sparks.
Did she do one?
No.
Fergie?
It'll hit me at some point.
Fergie did not do one.
So the UNLV news that came down today. So Amari Hardy is back. You figure from there some dominoes are going to fall. Anderson, your boy at the paper, followed up and said Nick Blair, who I do think is important for this team as a leader. Yeah. And he turned into a pretty good contributor in the latter two-thirds of the season. And Bryce Hamilton, who was the, well, we thought the stud of the recruiting class last year, but it actually turned out from a production standpoint to be Joel Tomboy. So what happens from here? Can they get some of the bigs back? And they still don't have a commit from the best player on the team, and that's Shakur Justin.
Right.
But you believe that the San Diego State effort to recruit him began a long time ago. We know lots of Power 5 schools have reached out to Shakur.
Yeah, in the, you know, I don't know how much, you know, he, I don't know how much he was ever in the mix. And that doesn't mean he's not coming back. I just think there was pretty early in the process the belief that it was more likely that he'd be leaving. And some of the other guys, it was more likely that they would be staying. Amori Hardy, I think, was one that was right around 50-50, and that's a good get. And I also think on some of the bigs, I'd be interested to know how much they're pushing. How much are they really trying to re-recruit?
The players, or you're saying the coaches?
The coaching staff. To go, like, I'm sure some of them they want. Some of them they think could be productive and they want to keep around. But I don't know how much of their time they're spending, you know, just aggressively re-recruiting some of those guys. We still haven't got to the hook, by the way.
This is Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, okay. You couldn't let it go, could you?
I couldn't. I'm liking this song the more I hear it.
God, I hate that note right there. She's a really good singer, but man, rewind that for a second. Why did she do that? She's a great singer. I don't know why they let her do that.
Which note?
Go back again. Just keep, and it's just, it's Chris Beard with the. That's just screaming. And she's a brilliant singer. Teddy Pendergrass and Luther nailed this. I really like this song. I'm a psycho. Sorry.
They should have let Beard do it.
They should have let Beard do it in that voice. How bad would that be if the loser of this tournament had to get up and sing One Shining Moment after screaming the entire game? I screamed my voice out today in 3 hours doing a radio show.
But like they're a lounge singer on a cruise ship. They have to.
It's Bill Murray. It's Bill Murray, the lounge singer from SNL. And now he's got to do One Shining Moment weeping as all the great highlights of the tournament are played.
I'm all in for Chris Beard having to do that.
Man, we feel bad for him, don't we? Former UNLV coach, we've only played his cracking voice 40 times now. Chrissy!
Yeah?
Good job.
I'm going to try to mix in that note, that Jennifer Hudson note, with just...
Yes.
Just the...
The whole song.
Just to compare and contrast, or just have Beard in that spot. I like it. I like it. It's a good project for tomorrow.
I'm on it.
It's a real good project. So you think that there's a chance that Coach Ott is like, you know what, big guys, we'd like some of you back, but I'm not going to freaking go crazy over it.
Well, how long, like, I know that he said it was very important for him to re-recruit the guys and keep them around and keep them in the mix. But how long do you pursue it if you start feeling, and I'm not saying this is the case, I'm just saying if you start feeling like guys are leaning elsewhere or looking elsewhere and there's, you know, more likely than not you're not going to get them, and they don't necessarily fit what you want to do anyway, like, what's the point of wasting all your resources trying to keep these guys?
So who doesn't fit? Does Tomboy fit? I sort of think he does. I mean, he's got to get better defensively. Got to get a little more fluid with his motion.
Yeah. But I
Jong fits, right? You got to have someone at the back of the defense.
Yeah, it's always valuable.
To me, Dembele fits because he's another backstop. He's not going to play a ton, but you got to have a couple of big guys. I think JTT is going to be a great player.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's coming back. I think that kid's footwork already. He's got to work on his hands. He's got to work on his defense and defensive concepts. But I think his upside is tremendous. So.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line was they were getting better, and there's guys that have potential, but they weren't good enough. So, you know, you might have to get guys that are better anyway.
We did put that question up on Facebook today. We'll get you some of the answers tomorrow. But we asked you on Facebook, beyond Hardy and Hamilton and Nick Blair, who would you like just to see go and replace him with better players? It's a little harsh, but do realize that was going to happen at the back end of the roster with Marvin Menzies around. They just weren't he was in the same position that Tony Sanchez is in, where it was going to be go time, and having as many, you know, redshirt projects at the end of the bench, they just weren't going to be able to do it. They're going to have to find landing spots. I assume that's what they would probably do, but they were going to have to find landing spots for some of the guys. Yeah. I'd like to see Marvin Coleman come back too. I think he can play.
It happens all around college basketball, especially when there's new coaching staffs coming in.
No doubt. Oh, real quick question before we get to grab bag, and remember the game tonight and all games for the Aviators. I almost said 51s. 9:20 the game. We are in Russ Langer's way, so we're going to get the hell out of here in just a couple minutes. Last one on the title game today. Next 15 years, they're both young enough to coach for this long. More Final Fours. Chris Beard, Tony Bennett. I say Beard. I got your back, buddy. I am the Beard supporter today, not Chrissy.
I think it depends where Beard goes.
Well, I don't think he's not going to back to freaking Little Rock.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right, but I mean,
he's not going to the A-10. He's not coming to the Mountain West Conference.
What I'm saying, there was rumors about Bennett leaving too, but I do think Chris Beard is a guy that, and maybe, you know, maybe it was home and he wants to be there and he wants to be there long term. I feel like Beard is a guy who likes to rebuild and move, and I think he could take two or three jobs by 15 years from now, and maybe he's rebuilding in all of those places and trying to, you know, turn them into winners. So I think with consistency, if Bennett's at Virginia that whole time, I would take Virginia and Bennett to go to more Final Fours, but I think Beard is more than capable of going to more.
Raiders preseason schedule is set, sort of. At least we know the opponents during the preseason. We'll have that in the grab bag.
Grab bag is presented by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas. Try world-class restaurants like Chart House, Grotto Italian Ristorante, Vic and Anthony Steakhouse, and the Cadillac Mexican Kitchen and Tequila Bar. Only at the Golden Nugget Las Vegas. Grab bag is presented by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
We have celebrity sightings all over Las Vegas ballpark. Just saw Ray Brewer, Brew Crew, Las Vegas Sun. He's out by the pool. We are about 500 feet from the pool. It's in right center. Can't wait to do a show out there. Can't wait to do a Cofield and Company live right next to the pool.
Coming this summer.
Let's do it.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I'm all over it. Chrissy, we never let you chime in on the Mina Kimes elevator etiquette request from many women that guys be more cognizant of how much women are afraid of dudes. And if you get off at the same floor, it's actually wrong to let the woman go first. Male should go first, and that makes the woman feel safe. What do you think of that whole thing?
That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I feel safe wherever I go. This is not a challenge to anybody by any means.
You feel safe in our edipes?
Well, aside from there, no. I think
if I'm in the closet / edipe doing production work, don't leer through the window. See, you've got your Mina Kimes-like concerns.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't feel like I'm seriously, something really bad is going to happen to me. Like getting out of an elevator, that's a very bizarre situation to even outline on social media. So I would have to say I'm a little less scared. Maybe I should be more scared.
I feel in reverse all the time, so I just don't think it's that crazy.
I pointed out earlier that it had me all screwed up yesterday going on an elevator at the TI because we were out there for a live show. And I got on an elevator, and I didn't even ask anyone to press a button for me. I was like, I'm just going to go wherever. I don't want to touch anyone. I don't want to reach across them. And someone said, well, why don't you ask? I don't ask people to do anything for me.
No, but you
ever.
Just go first.
I was joining an elevator that already had four people. I'll just take it to the top floor, and we'll come back down at some point. I don't care.
Just go to the floor of the woman who looks alone and vulnerable.
I like
how about
you,
that, and then
like
follow right behind her.
I like what Adam said earlier, that if you get into an elevator, you're telling me that's not going to creep out Mina Kimes or another woman. You get into an elevator and you walk to the corner and stare at the wall.
Yep,
that's weird too.
That weird is better than scary and menacing.
All right, the first of many out here at the Las Vegas ballpark. Thanks to the Aviators for having us on the scene. Get out here for the game tonight.